I'm Rhonda Sebastian. I'm going to talk about beverages today. And I will say in disclosure that I do consume more than one soda per day, but it is usually of the diet variety. And I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues who helped me put together this presentation. So, beverages. Why do we care? I mean, why do we care about beverages? Why is the dietary guidelines riddled with guidance regarding beverages? Well, they provide about a quarter of our daily calories. And just fruit drinks, sodas, and sport and energy drinks alone provide almost 50% of all added sugars intake, for which there's really no dispute that those are empty calories, providing calories and nothing much in the way of nutrients. So dietary guidance, the guidelines do tell us that, remember, beverages count, and to drink water and other beverages with few calories, and consume the nutrient-dense beverages of fat-free milk and 100% juices. There's also guidance for specific age groups. Everyone it's recommended to lower intake of sugar-sweetened beverages. Children, we're supposed to monitor their intake of 100% juices, especially those juices like apple juice, which don't usually provide too much in the way of nutrients like citrus juices. And for adults, we're supposed to monitor our alcoholic beverages. So I have three objectives that I'd like to do today, in line with what Alana was talking, just giving a very brief snapshot of beverage intakes by Americans. The first thing I want to do is present the beverage intake patterns, both adults and kids. I'm going to identify some differences by demographics, as the previous speakers have done for their topics. And the last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to describe some associations we see between choosing selective beverages and impact on total daily intake. And I'll explain that more when I get to that point. So the beverage groups that we looked at, now I used 07-08 data, which Alana described, which is our most recently released data, a little bit over 5,000 adults and over 3,000 kids, and we divided things into 8 categories. We had plain water, which was tap and bottled water with nothing added to it. We grouped milk and milk drinks. I know some people may not agree with that, but milk consumption was so low that for the purposes of this presentation, I grouped the milk drinks like flavored milk and cocoa together with the milk drinks. 100% juice, which is fruit and vegetable juice with nothing added. Coffee, now this is both plain coffee and coffee with the things that people typically add to coffee, such as sugar, creamer. Tea, same deal with tea, plain tea, as well as tea with sugar, honey, whatever else we add to tea. The low-calorie drinks, which are basically the copycats off the sugar-sweetened beverages, things like Diet Coke, Diet Sprite. Sugar-sweetened beverages, which for us includes sodas, fruit drinks, sports and energy drinks that have full calories or are not low calorie. And the last thing is alcoholic beverages. So the first thing I want to look at is beverage intake of adults and the differences that we see between men and women in that intake. So as we can see, men, not surprisingly, this is a dull moment, consume more than women by about 2 more cups. Now, remember those 8 categories. I'm actually going to only highlight 4 of those categories that make up 80% of adults' intake. And I'm also going to highlight the ones that we see differences between men and women. So, water, thankfully, is the number one beverage reported by men and women. And they both consume a little bit over 4 cups. The other 3 categories, we see differences between men and women, with men consuming about 1.5 cups of coffee to women's 1.3, almost 2 cups of sugar-sweetened beverages to women's a little bit over 1, and 1.3 cups of alcoholic drinks versus 0.4 for women. Now, as far as percent reporting, sometimes that tells the story in mean intakes. And for alcoholic beverages, this is true. We actually only see about 17% of women who report an alcoholic beverage on the intake day, on any given day, whereas about a third of men do. In fact, this is another dull moment, but about 25% of men report beer on any given day. Now, turning our attention quickly to children and looking at differences that we see by gender and age. First of all, for the younger groups of kids, the 2 to 5-year-olds and the 6 to 11-year-olds, we don't see any differences between boys and girls. We see the 2 to 5-year-olds consume a little over 4 cups, and the 6 to 11-year-olds consume a little over 5 cups. Now, 90% of 2 to 5-year-olds' intake are from 4 categories: plain water, 100% juice, milk and milk drinks, and I can say for this group it's primarily plain milk, thank goodness, and sugar-sweetened beverages. And people are like, oh my goodness, people are giving these to the young kids. But remember, this includes things like Kool-Aid, so young kids are drinking this in addition to the soda. For the 6 to 11-year-olds, it's changing. We see milk has decreased quite a lot. Water has increased somewhat, and sugar-sweetened beverage is starting to expand. Now, for the adolescents, we do see a difference between boys and girls. Boys are drinking about 2 more cups of beverages total per day. The composition of their beverage intake can actually be explained, 80% of it, by 3 beverage categories. We have water, milk, and this is just pathetic, but this is what it is, and sugar-sweetened beverages. So we have teenage boys. Now this, remember, this is users and non-users. This is a mean across everybody, consuming 2.5 cups of sodas, energy drinks, fruit drinks per day. So at a minimum, that's 250 to 300 calories, and that's across everyone. Now, granted, many of them are consuming it. We're talking about 70%, 70 to 75% of adolescents are consuming sugar-sweetened beverages on any given day. Now, I just want to contrast real quickly the intakes by age, and you'll see that there's definite trends going on here. Not surprisingly, the older the kids are, the bigger they are, the more total beverages they consume. So you can see that the adolescents consume more than the younger groups. Same with plain water. However, the situation is reversed for the milk and milk drinks and 100% juice. So even though the 2 to 5-year-olds are only consuming a little bit over 4 cups a day, they're consuming more milk and milk drinks than the adolescents. And also, they're consuming less sugar-sweetened beverages. As you can see, there's a trend with increasing age. Now I'm going to look at race, ethnicity with adults and kids together because we found some very interesting findings and the results were quite similar for the adults and the children. First, if you look at the left side, you can see that the adults that are 20 plus years of age or over, that the non-Hispanic whites are consuming more total beverages than both the non-Hispanic blacks and the Hispanics. Now, we couldn't quite come up with a reason for this. We looked at patterns. We looked at, you know, consumption at meals, consumption between meals, and there was really no definite, you know, pattern as far as why the non-Hispanic blacks and the Hispanics were consuming less. We even looked at moisture from foods versus moisture from beverages, and just the moisture from foods was not any different. However, the moisture from beverages obviously is. If you look at the kids from age 2 to 19, that difference holds as well for the non-Hispanic whites versus the non-Hispanic blacks. Now, the beverages which had significant differences between the whites, the blacks, and Hispanics for the adults are pretty obviously milk and milk drinks, though we know that there's not a whole lot of consumption by anybody going on there. Low-calorie drinks, coffee, and tea are all consumed in greater quantities by the non-Hispanic whites versus the other race ethnic groups. For the kids, we also saw the milk and milk drinks. Now, that was driven mostly by the teenagers, who black teenagers are just not consuming milk for obvious reasons, whereas they do pick up a little bit on increasing the black kids are consuming more 100% juice. The health implications, I'm not certain, because except for the milk and milk drinks, which are consumed in very small quantities anyway, everything else doesn't provide much except for moisture and sugar. Okay, so the last thing I want to do is I want to take a beverage that dietary guidance recommends consuming, and that would be plain milk. And I'm going to compare the nutrient intakes and the food group intakes of those kids who consumed milk versus on the intake day versus those who did not consume milk. Then I'm going to flip the situation around, and I'm going to look at sugar-sweetened beverage reporters versus non-reporters and see the associations with food and nutrient intake between the reporters and non-reporters of sugar-sweetened beverages. So I'm just going to look at kids, but I can tell you the patterns are very similar for adults. So if we look at those kids who reported milk on the intake day versus those who did not, the kids who did had higher intakes of, well, dairy servings. It was actually twice as much, which is, of course, obvious. They also had higher intakes of saturated fat, because kids overall like the reduced fat 2% milk and the whole milk. They were choosing the lower fat milk. I'm sure that would difference would disappear. They had higher intakes of protein and higher intakes of several vitamins and minerals. Now, obviously, some of them make sense, like D and calcium and riboflavin, but the potassium is interesting because potassium isn't that high in milk. Now, the guidelines do recommend that, I mean, they do specify some nutrients which are of concern because they're chronically low in the diets of Americans. And three of those are highlighted here. So those nutrients are significantly higher among milk drinkers versus non-milk drinkers. Now, the flip side for sugar-sweetened beverage reporters, which is over 50% of kids, versus non-reporters. The sugar-sweetened beverage reporters had significantly higher intakes of energy, and we are talking in the order of 300-plus calories. So if you only have to eat 100 calories more a day to gain 10 pounds in a year, I guess 300 calories can translate to 30 pounds in a year. They also had higher carbohydrate as added sugars, and the amount is pretty astounding. They had intakes of 22 teaspoons of added sugar a day, which translated is almost half a cup of straight sugar, or about 370 to 400 calories of sugar. But they also had, even though they had higher calories, higher added sugar, they had lower intakes of fruit and dairy servings, as well as protein, fiber, and many vitamins and minerals. Again, several of those nutrients are ones that are very low in the diets of Americans, as stated by the guidelines. So what have we seen today? Well, basically, we found that besides plain water, most adults and kids only consume beverages that supply calories and not a whole lot else. That we really need to do what we can to boost intake of those beverages that are recommended by the guidelines. That the differences that we see in the demographics can inform our choices on which groups to target. You know, when I was looking at this, the kids, the youngest kids, they're not the greatest, but if we could somehow convince the older kids, once they get autonomy, to not change their eating patterns, to consume more beverages and less milk, we would be better off, as appropriate, of course. And lastly, consumption of specific beverages does appear to be an indicator of the health of the entire daily intake. So its impact is beyond just reported calories and moisture. And I want to thank you. I also want to remind you there is three data briefs in the back for anybody whose interests are beverages. There's one on fluid milk and one on water for all ages and one on beverages for adults specifically. Thank you. Yeah.